Good evening, everyone. God is good. Amen. Good to have you tonight. The Lord bless you richly, especially because of all this crazy weather we're having, raining outside. Thank you for joining all of us here tonight. Those that are tuning in live, so good to have you as well. Let's turn our Bibles as we're going through the book of Psalms tonight. We're going to be in Psalm 20 and Psalm 21. You know, these psalms here, are kind of coincide and work together. Now, this Psalm of David, which both of them are, 20 and 21, they're called a royal psalm, and it speaks mainly, of course, to the greatest King of Kings who is ever going to return, and that is our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? But this psalm is really unique because he's going to pray a prayer that a king would pray to God, which is King David, before he goes out into battle and asking for that incredible victory. And then in Psalm 21, he is celebrating the victory that God has given unto him. But this psalm is also called by another name, and that's the one I like and the one I prefer, and it's called a Psalm of Trust. What a wonderful, wonderful word, the word trust. I hope you're trusting the Lord Jesus tonight. I hope your trust is in God the Father tonight. Amen? Because there's no other way that we can make it without our Lord. And, you know, if you look up that word trust in the Hebrew tonight, is what we're going to be talking about, trusting God in the day of trouble. You know, the word trust in Hebrew means this. It means to throw one down upon his face or to lie extended on the ground. That incredible humility saying unto God, I trust you completely. If we define that word trust, it goes something like this. A firm belief in the reliability, the truth, the ability, or strength of someone or something. Now listen, I have said many times in my life, and you probably have too, I wish I had never trusted that person or that company. Amen? Have y'all ever done that? You can talk to me tonight. It's Wednesday. Nobody cares. But I have never one time in my life since I have come to Christ, I have never once ever said, I should have never trusted God. I should have never trusted Jesus, the one who died for my sins and the sins of the world. I have never said, I should never trust your holy word. Amen. But boy, when it comes to man. So as we look at this in the day of trouble tonight about trusting God, let's begin David's psalm in Psalm 20, verse 1. It says, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble, and may the name of God of Jacob defend you or set you upon high. The day of trouble. Has anybody had trouble this week? Man, listen, trouble is everywhere, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, all you have to do is turn on the news or get on 820. I mean, trouble is all around us. We're surrounded with trouble. Few and far between are the days that are not filled with trouble. You know, Job said it this way in Job 14:1. He said, a man who is born of woman is few of days and full of trouble. Now, whatever verse 1 may mean, okay, that we just read, whether it means about the king going out into battle and he's praying or whatever, if it refers to that, praise the Lord. But I do know this, it does refer to the day of trouble. And as a believer in Christ Jesus, every day is going to be a day of trouble in a sense, meaning we are constantly in a war. We're in a fight, aren't we? We war against the flesh, that old slave that's dead, but he still wants to come alive in us, that old man. We war against the flesh, the world, and the devil. What does the Bible tell us to do? Paul said in what was it, Ephesians 6:10, it says, finally, brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And I'll tell you what, in my day of trouble, in your day of trouble, do you want God to answer you? Yes, you do. And do you want him to defend you? Absolutely. You know, the Bible says so much about the day of trouble and trusting God in the day of trouble. Psalm 46:1, one that you know very well, where it writes, the psalmist said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, meaning God is more present with you in your trouble than the trouble is. Amen? He says here, he said, therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, And though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, in other words, they're gone, man. Though its waters roar and be troubled, and though the mountains shake with its swelling, I will not fear. If the whole world and everything we know falls apart, will you still trust in God? If the coronavirus comes into this nation, will you still trust in God? You can trust in God and wear a mask, amen? Absolutely. You know, and there is a day of trouble coming upon this planet, and there is none like it. It says in Jeremiah, what is it? It says in Jeremiah someplace, 30 verse 7, somebody just say that? It says this in that scripture. It says, oh, alas, for the day is great so that none is like it. And it is a time of Jacob's trouble, the time of Israel's trouble in the great tribulation period. It says, but Israel will be saved, or that remnant will be saved out of it. The Bible tells us in Psalm 41:1, it says, oh, how happy, or literally blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in a time of trouble. You know, that is a glorious promise from God. Amen? Do you know that's exactly what you did on Mission Sunday? You considered the poor. Steve and all the team, they shared the film, the videos, all that happened. And you know what's so wonderful about that? As you considered the poor on Mission Sunday, you know what? You did what you used to do. You gave over $10,000 on Sunday, 100% of which goes to the poor children and the work that we do in Mexico. Amen? Amen. How much you used to give every time we would have the third Sunday of the month, Love Never Fails Sunday. So praise the Lord. Maybe you're going to start doing that again. Amen? Verse 2. May he send you help from the sanctuary, or God's tabernacle, if you will, and strengthen you out of Zion. Now, that's Jerusalem. And he says, may he remember all of your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. Now, listen. And then he says, Selah. That's a very important word. And, you know, whenever I read that the other day and I looked at it, I said, now, Lord, this is the old covenant. And so forth, you know, we don't offer burnt offerings to the Lord, do we? Or do we? You ever think about it that way? So David cries, he says, may the Lord accept your offering, your burnt offering. Did you know that the burnt offering is the oldest sacrifice known to man? It was offered, remember, he offered the burnt offering to the Lord. Noah, when Noah left the flood and landed in the new world, let's put it that way, the first thing he did, I think it's Genesis 8, verse 20, he built an altar and he offered the burnt offerings unto the Lord. Man, a burnt offering. Loved one, listen to me. When I think about that, that word Selah, it says, I want you to pause. That word means pause, meditate on it, and think about it. Think about what? Think about verses 1, 2, and 3 on how God will deliver you, defend you, and answer you in the day of your trouble. Well, that is something we really should meditate upon all the time. You know, listen, David said again, may God accept your burnt offering. You know, the burnt offering, if you go back and study it out, you can find that in, I think, Leviticus chapters 1 through 5. If you study out all the offerings to the Lord, we know that the burnt offering speaks of total dedication to the Lord, because when the priest would put the burnt offering on the altar, remember what happened? It was totally consumed, all of it. Did you know that the burnt offering is a free will offering? It's of your own volition. It's not all. It means, Lord, here, I'm just offering this because I love you and I trust you and all the rest of those things. Jesus is the true burnt offering, isn't he? That's right. The altar in the old covenant represents literally the cross in the new covenant. Now listen, you know, have you presented your burnt offering to the Lord? And I know that we're not old covenant saints, okay? But what do I mean by that? I mean, if you have not given yourself, if you're not a Romans 12, 1 and 2 person, then you're not prepared for the day of trouble. Did you know that? See, we are the aroma of Christ, the Bible teaches. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you do something, that you present yourselves as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Amen? Now listen, the word present there, if you studied that word out, is a word that is a picture in the Greek of an Old Test of a priest, in other words, offering a sacrifice on the altar to God, presenting itself. You know, have you done that? That's a glorious thing to do. Say, Lord, you know what? Here I am. Burn me up for you. Amen? In other words, I'm totally consumed with Jesus, and I'm not consumed with anything else. He says in verse 4, he says, may he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. In other words, all the plans that are needed to get you out of the day of trouble. And it says, we will rejoice in your salvation. In the name of our God, we will set up banners. And may the Lord fulfill all your petitions. And now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Listen, David not only trusted God, but David expected total victory against his enemies. Amen? That's why he's praying that. So their day of trouble became a day of victory, a day of triumph, a day of thanksgiving for David and his armies and so forth. Now here comes our scripture. Some trust in what? Some trust in chariots. Well, some trust in horses. Now horses in that day, they were the leading, you know, war machine, okay? He says, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And he says, they, meaning David's enemies, God's enemies, they have bowed down, David says, and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Oh, save, Lord. May the king answer us when we call. And I say amen to that. Save now, or save us. That's Hosanna. Save us. And our king has saved us. His name is Jesus Christ. And so the object of David's trust, he says, I have faith in God and his name and all that his name represents and all that he is. When the day of trouble comes, and loved one, listen to me, it will come. Jesus promised us in this world we would have tribulation. Amen? But he told us not to worry about it. He had overcome this world, and we are in him, and we've overcome the world through him. Now listen, when the day of trouble comes, tomorrow, next week, whenever it might be, whom or what do you place your trust in? Boy, that's an important word, because we don't know tomorrow, do we? Listen, we don't know, but the Lord does. We don't know what we're going to be facing tomorrow. We don't know the things, the attacks of the enemy, but God does. So that day of trouble, when it literally does come upon us, what are you going to trust in? You know, we could be like the world and say, man, I have a lot of money in the bank. You know, but I don't know if you know what I mean. Do you trust in money? What does the Bible say about that? In 1 Timothy 6:17, Paul writes, he says, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be haughty, don't be puffed up about it, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Did you know that word enjoy is really in the Bible? God wants you to enjoy. Listen, enjoying the riches that God has provided you. Is it a sin to be rich? No. But it's a sin if you love money more than God. Amen? No, listen. No, it's not a sin at all. We don't want to be trusting our possessions. We want to be trusting the one who has given us our possessions. Amen? See, you can enjoy whatever God's given you. So, you know, if you go home tonight and you pull in with your Corvette, you know, or maybe you have some Tesla? I don't really care. But there you pull in, and there's your three-car garage. Oh, man, which one do I want to park in? And you get home, and it's kind of, well, Bill let us out early tonight. You know, he's not as long-winded as he usually is. And, you know, so you pull into the living room, you know, and there all of a sudden, well, let's go into the theater room. You know, you got a 5,000-inch TV there with your surround sound all around, and you're going to have, you know, a little warm milk before you turn in for bed. You can have anything that God gives you. Never be guilty if God has given you those things. You hear me? If God wants you to have it, praise the Lord, then enjoy them. However, don't trust in uncertain riches. Don't trust in those things, because I tell you what, a three-car garage, a beautiful TV, whatever it might be, a big bank account will not help you in the day of trouble. Do you understand? Only God can help anyone that goes into the day of trouble, loved one. Now, in the day of trouble, again, we're not to trust in uncertain riches, but we're to trust in the living God, because God is never uncertain. Never. Jesus Christ, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Riches won't help us. There's nothing wrong with riches. It says, though, in Proverbs 11:28, those who trust in riches, they're going to fail. They're going to fall. Listen to Isaiah 31:1. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help. Egypt always represents the world. Who rely on horses, who trust in chariots, because they are many. And in horsemen, because they're strong. Now listen to what God says. But you do not look to the Holy One of Israel, nor seek the Lord. One of the a scripture I know that you know by heart. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with some of your heart. No, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not onto your own understanding. Not the things that you know in this life. He says, in all, not some, not a few, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall what? Direct your paths. In all your ways acknowledge him. Now listen, that means when it says, when the scripture says, lean not onto your own understanding, it means to trust God no matter what. But listen now, that's also emotionally and intellectually. Your emotions can they deceive us? Yeah, remember when you were a little boy, a little girl, and you would go to bed at night and you were afraid of the dark? You know, and you would look in the closet and you just knew there was something there? That didn't happen to you. Listen, I still have a nightlight in my bedroom. I'm in counseling over it today. No, listen, you know, emotionally, intellectually, it says trust the Lord in good times, in bad times, in hard times, whatever you're going through, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. That's a great scripture. And then he says again, he will direct your paths. Remember what that word direct means in Hebrew? Make smooth, make level, make prosperous. And do you remember what I always say when I quote that scripture? That's, let the word direct be God's definition, not your definition of what level and prosperous means. Amen? Because God may be saying, no, this, I'm directing your paths, but you're going uphill right now. You need to climb. It's hard, but that's what you need. I'm directing your path. And God, the Bible says, always leads, thanks be unto God, who always leads us in victory. He's always leading us in victory if we're following him. Now, the Bible says about trust, it says in Nahum 1:7, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And the Lord knows those who trust in him. I love that. The Lord is good. I pray that that always is a revelation in your heart. But if you're in trouble tonight or in trouble tomorrow, God says, run to me. Run to your stronghold. Run to your fortress. Run to the one who loves you. Amen? And that is what we're to do. God says, I know if you trust me or not. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, the Bible teaches us. So every person, no matter who they are, believer, non-believer, they trust in something or someone. There's no way around it. Whatever you trust in is what you believe in. You know, I've used this before because it's so true. I would venture to say there's not one person that came tonight to this service. On your way here, you were not rubbing your hands together and fretting and saying, oh God, oh Lord, help me, because when I get to the chapel, you know, I don't know if that chair is going to support me or not. You didn't pray that prayer, did you? If you did, I want to pray for you after the service. No, you didn't even give it a second thought. You put all of your trust, knowing, you didn't even think about it. I'm going to sit down. That's my chair. It's got my name on it. I sit in the same place every service. It's always supported you, and it will always support you. Amen? See, that's what trust is. You just know it. You're not worried about it. You're not fretting about it at all. One of my favorite scriptures is Psalm 62:8. It says, trust in him at all times, you people. Every situation, every minute, every day, every month, no matter what you're going through. It says, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Pour out your heart before God. I do that every morning, don't you? I run to the throne of grace, that place to find mercy, help, and grace in time of need and even obtain it. God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to trust me. And that means you can come to me, and I want you to empty your heart. It's okay to empty your heart to God, to tell him he knows what's in your heart anyway. And you can just say, Lord, this is the truth. This is what I don't know why I'm doing this, or I don't know what's going on in my life. I don't know. But I'm going to empty my heart to you. I'm going to pour it all out, like God said. In other words, God says, let it all out. Get rid of it right now. Let me have it. Listen to me now. God never wearies of you pouring your heart out to him. You never wear God out. He loves you, amen? He knows what's there, but it's good to pour it out. Say, Lord, and boy, what kind of koinonia or intimacy we have when that happens. In reality, there are only two kinds of trust in the world, okay? Let me give you the scriptures. In Jeremiah 17:5, it says this, thus saith the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man. In other words, the creature, man, and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord, meaning the creator of all things. Listen, Judah, that scripture, of course, is dealing with Judah and their sin. They're backslidden. They would not repent. They would not turn back to the living God. God said, I'll heal all of your backslidings. They wouldn't do it. So Judah trusted man, meaning their allies, instead of the living God. And you know what trusting man does instead of God? It brings a curse. Cursed is the man who trusts in man. And then the next verse in Jeremiah 17:6, those who do such things, if you don't trust God, you trust man, listen to what's going to happen. He shall be like a shrub in the desert. He won't really be a shrub, but he'll be like a shrub, it says. And shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in the salt land, which is not inhabited. In other words, a place where nothing will support you at all. The horrible results of not trusting God. You just like a shrub without water, man, dried up in the wasteland. That's the cost of unbelief, isn't it? And then he says this, though, about those who trust him. He says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is in the Lord, for he'll be like a tree planted by the waters. He'll be like a tree rooted, grounded, a tree that is planted. That planted always speaks of ownership in the Bible, security. In other words, God planted you there. You know, you've heard me say, let's all bloom where God plants us, amen? And he says, you'll be planted by the waters, plural. And of course, water always speaks of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're dried up tonight. Listen, man, let the Holy Spirit just water you. May he saturate you, your thinking, and all that you're going through right this minute. He says, oh, by the waters which spreads out its roots by the river, and they will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaf will be green. They'll not be anxious in the year of drought or whenever the trouble comes, nor cease from yielding fruit. Now listen carefully. What is the true cause of not trusting the God, our Father, who cannot lie? You ever ask yourself those questions? Lord, why am I not really trusting you in this situation? Why am I looking over here for help or over here for help or running to this person or this self-help book? Not against self-help books. I'm just telling you, God's our greatest self-help. Amen. Yeah, what is the real cause? Well, Jeremiah tells us, the next very verse tells us what the problem is. He says, The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, I search the heart. I test the mind to give to every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Now listen to me. Even after we are born from above, we're a new creation in Christ. God has written his word in our hearts. Amen? We renew our mind now to the word of God. We still have a heart, loved one. Even though we're born again and we reckon that old man dead, he sure likes to live again, doesn't he? It's treacherous, our hearts. We have to be so careful with our hearts, loved one. Because, see, here's the deal. Well, let's look at it this way. Our eyes, are the eyes connected to the heart? Yes, they are. What did Jesus tell us? It says, if any man looks upon a woman to lust, he commits adultery. Amen? That word looks means to burn, not just a casual glance. And he says, oh, listen. He says, for he has already committed adultery in his mind. Where? In his heart. See, it's a heart issue. The Bible, is the mouth connected to the heart? Matthew 12:34? Jesus said, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's a heart. It's always a heart issue. That's why some people, I mean, all of us, we have times I'm just not trusting God. Why? It's the heart. That it's always going to be the heart. Listen, everything begins in the heart. All of our problems. Where do lies come from? Where do evil desires come from? They come from the heart, loved one. Jesus told us, he said in Matthew 15:19, for out of the heart, not the mind, out of the heart, that inner person proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, and blasphemies. A great scripture about our heart. It says in Proverbs 4:23, it says, keep your heart. The word keep means guard your heart. Protect your heart. Above everything that you do, protect it. He says, oh, keep your heart. And here it comes, with all diligence. That means above everything else in your life, keep your heart. No wonder Jesus, when he quoted the great commandment, you shall love the Lord thy God with all your... Why? Because it's so easy for other things to get into your heart to rob you and take you away from the Lord. It's the heart, loved one. He says, let's keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it, out of your heart, spring the issues of life. That's why we need to protect our heart. Now listen to me. We're talking about trusting the Lord. We're in Psalms tonight. Every action is a heart action, okay? It's always going to be that way. We have to protect our heart. We have to stay renewed in our minds to God's word. In other words, you know, if you won't forgive, is that a heart action? Your heart's not right. Amen? If you're gossiping about somebody, is your heart right? No, your heart is wrong. See, it's a heart action. You know, for example, people say, I just can't pray. I'm just not having a prayer time. No. You know why you're not having a prayer time? I don't have enough time. No. It's not a time issue. It's a heart issue. Oh, isn't this good? Yeah, listen, if you're not studying your Bible, it's not a time issue. It's a heart issue. It's the same thing if we're not following the Lord as we should or serving the Lord and letting our gift that he's given us, that supernatural, whatever it might be, manifest. It's not a time issue. It's not a mental issue. It's a heart issue. It always comes back to the heart. Now listen carefully. If we are not trusting the Lord, it's not a time issue. It's not really even a faith issue. Well, yes, but no. It's really just our heart issue. Oh, Lord, search my heart. See if there be anything wicked in it. Amen. Oh, Lord, what did David cry? Create in Psalm 51. Oh, Lord, create in me. That word create is a Hebrew word bara. Create in me a clean heart. A clean heart. David says, I don't want my stinking heart anymore. I want, bara means to create out of nothing. I want a brand new heart. I want one that, Lord, you've created that's so clean and so pure because of his sin with Bathsheba. Remember? See, it's always going to be a heart issue. So what do we have to do? Well, we have to guard our hearts. For out of our hearts come the issue of life. What does that tell us? That our chief danger, loved one, is within. That's our greatest danger. I was telling somebody just yesterday, I said, there's no danger outside, really, against the Christian. I mean, when I walk out of this door tonight and go to my car, there's not going to be anyone out there ready to throw stones at me or there's no picket signs out there. Do you follow what I'm getting at? The greatest danger is not out there. The greatest danger is within this church. When people let their heart start going in the wrong direction and doing wrong things, it's always costly, loved one. Now, are you ready for Psalm 21 or you just want to go on home? Well, let's do it. Psalm 21. It says, the king shall have joy in your strength, O Lord, and in your salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. You have given him his heart's desire and have not withheld the request of his lips. Selah. Pause, ponder, think about that. Listen, why is David greatly rejoicing? Because what he prayed in Psalm 20, God has now answered. He had victory over the enemy in the day of trouble. Verse 3, for you meet him, I love this right here, with blessings of goodness. You, not David, you, God, you set a crown of pure gold upon his head. So obviously, I'm assuming here, when David went out to battle and his army, and as they returned after they defeated the enemies, it's like putting the crown all the way back on him again. But what I like about verse 3 is the blessings of goodness. You hear me say it all the time, God is good. Oh, how Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. Those good things. The Bible says, let us do good and share. The blessings, it says, of goodness. You know, the blessings, if you look in front of us, oh, listen, God is leading us. The Holy Spirit, I mean, is leading us. He's always with us. And if you look behind you and truly believe God's word, the Bible says in Psalm 23:6, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You look up that Hebrew word, follow. It's a strong word in the Hebrew. You know what it means? It means like an animal chasing you down in pursuit as fast as he can to overtake you. So in context, it's God's goodness and God's mercy. They are in hot pursuit of every believer that loves the Lord. Amen? They're right by. They're coming right after us right this minute. Listen, do you trust God's word tonight? Then right this minute, right now, God's goodness, God's mercy not only is in hot pursuit of you, but it will be all the days of your life. You know what that tells me? In the day of trouble, we don't have anything to fear. I'm not saying we won't feel fear, but we don't have to stand in it. Amen? Listen, we don't have to be afraid of our future. What did Jesus tell us in Matthew 6:33? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What things? We'll go back later tonight, read Matthew 6. He's talking about the clothes that you put on, the food that you need. God knows all those things that you need, amen? He said, but if you really need those things, seek God, seek the kingdom. Go there first. That's a matter of priority. All those things will be added unto you. He says in verse 4, he asked life from you, and you gave it to him. And length of days for how long? Forever and ever. Now listen, that can't be speaking of David, because David, he died at 70 years of age. But we, forever and ever, he has to be speaking of the promise that God told Nathan the prophet to give unto David, which is in 2 Samuel 7:12, which says this, "When your days, David, when they're fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I'll set up your seat after you. You'll come for my body, and I will establish his kingdom. And he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever and ever." We know that speaks of Jesus the Messiah, our Savior. Amen. He says, in verse 5, "And his glory is great, and your salvation, honor, majesty you've placed upon him. For you have made him blessed forever. You've made him exceedingly glad with your presence." Here it comes. "For the king," what? There's that word. "The king trusts in the Lord. Let us do the same. And through the mercy," that unfailing love now, "through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved." David is saying, "I'm secure because God has made me secure." He says, "Your hand will find all your enemies, and your right hand will find those who hate you." Now listen, as David closes out, is so important. It's always important to study Scripture. Listen, what we're about to see is, how does David really deal with his enemies? And we need to learn tonight. First of all, they're God's enemies. Amen? That's right. And so when we look at this, David says, "No, I'm going to let God deal with it, not me." Did you know, listen, if to be a follower of Jesus Christ is a divine guarantee that you're going to have enemies, okay? Yeah, Jesus told us, let me give you some scriptures, in John 15:18, "If the world hates you," you know it hated me before it hated you, Luke 21:17, Jesus said, "You will be hated by all for my name's sake." Sometimes, you know, like I've told you before, you know, I have those little rubber bricks. You know, they're not real, you know, not styrofoam. What's that called? Never mind. You know, you can throw them at something, it won't hurt anything. What is it called? What? Oh, it doesn't matter. You guys don't know any more than I do. Anyway, they won't hurt you. Every time, you know, drives me crazy is there's so much phony teaching today, and has been for many, many years. Not everybody, of course, but there's a lot of it out there. Just come to Jesus right now. Come to him tonight, and all your troubles will come to an end. May I tell you something? That kind of Christianity is worthless because it is not Christianity. Do you understand? The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:12, yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, listen, don't get bent out of shape. They're going to persecute you as well. No. In verse 9, look what he says. David calls on the Lord. He says, "You," not David, "but you, Lord, you shall make them," meaning the enemies, "as a fiery oven in the time of your anger," not David's anger, your anger. "And the Lord," not David, watch this now, "the Lord shall swallow them up with his wrath, and the fire shall devour them, and their offspring," meaning the enemies, "offspring you shall destroy from the earth, and their descendants from among the sons of man, for they," meaning David's enemies and God's enemies, "intended evil against you. They devised a plot which are not able to perform. Therefore you," meaning God, "you will make them turn back. You will make ready your arrows on your string toward their faces." Now listen, how do you really, from David here tonight, how do you really handle enemies? Well, first of all, you have to trust the Lord, amen? But verse 8 says this, David said, take your hand off of it. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay, amen? He says, take your hand off it. Verse 9, let God's anger burn, not your anger burn. Verse 12, let God be the archer. Put your bow away. Put your arrows away. And you know what? He says they're going to be consumed as fuel as in a furnace. Now, so you say, well, Bill, if God did all of that, what do we do? I love this part. Verse 13. Here's what we do. Be exalted, O Lord, in your own strength. Here it is. What are we going to do? We will sing and praise your power. Listen to me now. When is the last time in your quiet time, in your room, wherever it might be, the place that you go to be alone with the Lord, that you lift up your hands and say, oh God, I love you. I praise you, Father. Oh, and I celebrate. I sing unto you right now and praise your power. Your power. The power that washed us from all of our sin. The power that chose us in Christ Jesus. The power that will never leave us nor forsake us. Amen? Oh, listen, God's power. We should be praising. I'm going to talk about God's power Sunday. Listen, oh, we should be praising the Lord for all that he's done for us. Amen? All we have to do is trust upon him. Aren't you glad tonight, as we've been learning, you are accepted in the blood, meaning Christ Jesus. God loves you tonight just as much as he loves his own son because you are in Christ Jesus. Man, listen, I think about all the good things from God. Loved one, listen to me now. It's easy to trust God in good times, isn't it? But we have to also trust God in bad times, hard times, in the day of trouble. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 37, it says, trust in the Lord. Trust in him. Do good. Dwell in the land. And I love this part. Feed on his faithfulness. I have never have I said, I can't trust God's word. Never have I said that. I'm not saying that sometimes I failed. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying I know God's word is true whether I fail or not. Amen? I know God's word is true whether I trust or not. I know it's true. I know it's true. It's always that heart issue. The Bible says in Proverbs 30 verse 5, every word of God is pure, and he is a shield to all who trust in him. There's something about the power of God. Why not tonight, just for a second, just one heavenly second, why not just say, Lord, endue me with power, your power from on high one more time. Ephesians 5:18, be ye being filled with the Spirit. Not a one-time thing. Over and over and over. Study the book of Acts. Lord, just where you fill us. Father, tonight in Jesus' name, we come to you, the family of God, your sheep of your pasture, your sons, your daughters. Lord, we come to you right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, turn this chapel into an upper room. We don't know what's going on in the lives. I don't know what's going on in the lives of your people. I don't know the hurt that they're going through. I don't know, but I know this, you know. And Lord, you also, like you said in Nahum 1:7, you know those who do not trust you. Tonight, I pray in Jesus' name that their hearts are just open to you, Lord. And they fear not about anything and say, Lord, you know my heart. I'm pouring it out right this minute. I'm emptying my heart, Father, to you right now. I want to trust you in this situation, this day of trouble that I'm going through. I want to trust you, Lord. Help me now. Help mine unbelief. Increase my faith, as the disciples said, O Lord. Right now, fill us, Lord. We praise and we sing to your power. Oh, we're so thankful. We ask tonight, Lord, on this rainy evening, for safe journey and travel on the way home for all the people. And tonight, Lord, maybe with every head bowed and no one looking around and that music that's playing right now, would you turn that down for me? I'm asking that maybe, to thank you so much, maybe tonight, you're hurting, man. No, I mean, you're really hurting. And you don't really know what to do or how to do it. And you're so troubled in your spirit. If that's you, I don't want you to come to the altar unless you want to, but if that's you, I want to pray for you right now. Just right where you're sitting, I just want you to lift your hand, put it right back down, say, yes, that's right. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Yes, yes, that's right. I just want to pray for you right now. Anyone else, quickly, before I pray? Thank you. God bless you. Father, you've seen all the hands. I didn't see anything but hands. I didn't see any faces. Lord, just you did, but I didn't. But I do know this. That hand represents their faith. And they lifted it up to you in heaven, to the throne of grace. And whatever they're experiencing, maybe it is a day of trouble. Maybe they're having whatever, a problem trusting you in this situation. Right now, Lord, touch them. Touch them, Father. Let them sense and feel your incredible embrace and your incredible love. And Lord, whatever is happening, I ask you, would you displace it from them now? Displace it, the attacks, whatever it might be, and let supernatural rest and peace be upon them. Now we praise you in the mighty name of Jesus, and we all say, amen.